Hey there, friend, and welcome to the You Out Loud podcast. I'm your host, Mindy Hancock, and I am so glad you are listening in today. Authenticity truly happens when you let go of all the things you think you need to be. Each episode, we'll talk everything from mindset, motivation, inspiration, tough love, anxiety, mental health, and so much more. Rest assured, you can take the tools and strategies in this podcast and apply them to start living your most purposeful life out loud. All right, let's settle in for the goodness that is to come in this episode. Hey there, friend. Can we chat for just a second? Okay, cool. I promise this won't be long and we will get right into the episode. Are you a worrier? Do you often find yourself in a worry spiral? I totally understand where you're coming from. And I want you to know that worry creates a narrative in our minds that isn't always real. Struggling with worry is even harder when we are stressed, anxious, or feeling out of control. To help navigate these feelings, I recommend journaling to my clients as a way to help work through, release, and gain control over their worries. If you are struggling right now, you are not alone, and I am here to help you. Journal Away Your Worries is my free resource that I am so excited to share with you. This resource has 30 done-for-you journal prompts to help you create space and energy to spend on the things you love instead of worrying. So head on over to the link in the show notes to grab your free copy of Journal Away Your Worries and start easing your worry right now. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the show. Hello, my friends. I am so excited to chat with you today. We are going to do a quick podcast, and I wanted to just kind of tap back into the last episode that I did, which was all the way back in May. I know, guys, it's been almost 2 whole months since I've released a podcast for you guys, and I want you to know that there's just been a lot going on around here, and I'm going to do a life update. I'm going to do some updates in another episode coming up soon, but I wanted to just go ahead as we get into a new month. July, hello, it's my birthday month. I wanted to go ahead and just kind of wrap up the self-care that we talked about back in May and really be able to talk more about the different types of self-care. If you listen to that episode, I talked about like what self-care isn't, and I talked about why I think it's important that we talk about self-care in ways that is different than the norm or what we think we might see on social media with, you know, the eye mask and the bubble baths and all those kinds of things, which are great and fun. But self-care is so much more than that frilly, fun, you know, bubble bath, frou-frou type of stuff. So today I want to talk a little bit about the different types of self-care. And in that first episode, I did mention that I really wasn't planning on doing a series. And since it's been so long, we're not going to do an actual series. I'm just going to talk to you about the 4 main types of self-care and just kind of give you an idea of how broad the self-care realm is and how it's so much more than what maybe you think it is, or maybe what you originally thought it was. And maybe I'm even going to help you broaden your scope of what self-care is so that you can go, oh, hey, I already do that thing. I just didn't realize that that was self-care, because self-care is something that really genuinely makes you feel better. So we're just going to talk about the 4 different types. So the 4 different types I want to talk about today are physical, emotional, social, and spiritual. So all of these have there's even more than we could go into personal. We could go into like the space that you live in. We could go into work. We could go into all kinds of other areas of self-care. But I want to focus on these main 4. So physical, emotional, social, and spiritual. They're pretty self-explanatory if you really think about it. But we're going to dive into what that might look like for you and what maybe give you an example of something that I do for each one of these that might help, you know, me with my self-care. But again, you have to find what works for you, and each person is different. We're all different. That's what's so amazing about us humans, is that there's not one of us that is the same. We're not identical. even if you're identical twin, right? You and your twin still have differences. So we are all our own unique beings. And so what works for me may not work for you. And that is okay. So don't get wrapped up in the, something's wrong with me because I can't seem to enjoy this activity of self-care because I notice that everyone else is doing it. All my friends do it, or the people I see on social media, or, you know, right now the new trend right now is hot girl walk. Well, maybe you don't enjoy going on a walk. And so hot girl walk is not your thing. That is okay. You don't need to go on a walk for self-care if that doesn't truly do what self-care is intended to do, which is to help you feel, you know, fill your cup and feel, you know, at peace and feel like you kind of give back to yourself and kind of rejuvenate, refuel, and be able to kind of go on and take on the day or the situation or whatever it is that you have coming up with a clear head and a peaceful heart and those types of things. So let's just dig right into physical self-care. So obviously, that's something that we physically do with our bodies. And so that might even be stretching. It could be, again, walking, like going on that hot girl walk. So if you are a hot girl walk, go you. If you like those this summer, you go on with your bad self and get out there on a hot girl walk. You do you. But if that is not your jam, that's okay too. Maybe eating healthy food is something that you really strive for as a form of self-care. That's awesome. Maybe yoga is something that is good for you. And maybe you really enjoy yoga once or twice a week. And that's a really great way of doing some physical self-care. Another way that we can do physical self-care is sleep and rest. Those are huge things. Working out, physical release in some way. So working out, moving your body in some way that's intentional. So I feel like we could get into a whole other podcast episode about physical movement and moving your body because with intention versus with the purpose of, you know, changing your body or punishing your body for something. That could be a whole another podcast episode, but physical self-care, I want you to think of moving your body in whatever way makes you feel good, whether that be stretching, walking, going for a run, doing a hard, intense workout, lifting, doing CrossFit, doing, if you have a Peloton and you love to get on your Peloton, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe it's sleep and rest. Maybe it is eating a healthy, balanced nutrition. All of those are going to be in your physical self-care realm. So an example of what I might do, you guys know if you've been around for a while or you follow me on Instagram, you know I love my Peloton. So definitely Peloton is a form of self-care for me, or working out in general is a form of self-care for me. I think mainly because it used to be a lot more negative for me, meaning that I would do it to punish myself or I would do it to change myself. And it's not that I don't have goals or maybe don't want to change things sometimes about myself or about my body or I want to tone up here and there, but it's more so now strictly about self-care and strictly about my mental health and like I need this for myself to feel better, my brain to feel calm, my brain to feel like I can actually like just kind of release some of those stressful days that maybe something happened at work. That is what I use that physical self-care for. So, but I'm also a big proponent of sleep. If you've heard me talk about this before, I am a baby grandma. I love to sleep. And, I like to start to wind down around 8:30. It is 8:49 p.m. as I record this podcast, so it is a little bit past my start to wind down time, but that's okay because today I did take a nap. I did go and take a nap, and I set the Alexa to wake me up in 40 minutes. When she woke me up in 40 minutes, I got up, and that is when I know that like my body needed that 40 minutes of sleep because I was able to get up, and I felt really great after versus feeling that groggy, gross feeling. So rest and sleep are a huge deal for me. If we're not resting our body properly, we're going to hit a wall at some point, and then you're going to be forced to rest. And usually it's not at a time that you are able to give that type of rest to yourself. So physical self-care, again, examples are sleeping, stretching, walking, moving your body in any way that you see fit, healthy nutrition, yoga, rest, all of those things. So now let's move into emotional self-care. So emotional self-care can look like some sort of stress management, looking for a way to increase your compassion or your kindness, or your empathy towards others, really trying to work on self-regulation, maybe helping yourself work through some of your own maybe past traumas or work through your own, you know, issues as far as like maybe you have a hard time with criticism or stress or anxiety and things like that. So how can we do this emotionally? How can we work on our emotional self-care? Well, some of the best ways to do this is therapy. You know, I'm a I support going to therapy. That is what I'm trying to say. So therapy is a great one. If you have a coach or a mentor, someone that you can talk out what you're feeling and your emotions without that judgment or feeling as though you're being judged, or maybe just from someone who is a biased person that has an unbiased person that has no real stake in the game, skin in the game, whatever you want to call it. So they can truly just listen. And that's what a therapist does. It's what a coach does. It's what a mentor does. It's whatever you want to call people like me in the online space or a therapist. That's what they do. Counselors is what they do. But if you have someone in your life, maybe your best friend or your mom or your sister or your dog who you talk to and you release that stress and those emotions, that is another thing that you can do. I talk to my dog a lot. If you did not already gather that, if you follow me on social media, you probably know I'm pretty obsessed with my dude. So, but even more than that, looking into intentionally increasing your compassion and kindness for others, doing things that might be a little uncomfortable for you, maybe researching or seeking knowledge in areas that are new for you, or maybe you're looking into, you know, maybe you're wanting to learn more about white privilege or critical race theory, or, you know, just really understanding the culture of someone that is different than you, or just trying to really understand others and see their point of view to help increase your compassion, kindness, and empathy. That's also a way of practicing emotional self-care. So some ways that I like to do this is obviously therapy. That is one of my most favorite ways to practice self-care emotionally, but also just hanging out with the people that truly bring me joy and hanging out with the dude, you know? Okay, so moving into social self-care. Maybe you're not a social person. Maybe you don't like to be in a social setting. I totally understand that, but this is so much more than that. Social self-care can look like boundaries. It can be creating those boundaries with the people that you need to in order to keep you in a space that's healthy and good. So maybe it's boundaries around with your family or your best friend or your spouse or your partner, and you have to create those boundaries so that those lines are not crossed, so that you feel your best self. Maybe it's support. Maybe it's a positive social media outlet that you like to get on, and you like to consume positive places on social media, or you like to follow people on certain platforms that are positive influences for you, and it uplifts you versus brings you down. That's the type of self-care that we're talking about in the social aspect. So if you're on social media and you see something or you hear something or you read something or you watch something that isn't bringing you up, that isn't a positive influence on you, then that is a sign that maybe it's something that is needing to go away. Maybe you need to unfollow, unsubscribe, whatever, because it's not doing what you need to do in that social type of self-care. Another type of social self-care would be communication or spending time with people that you love or asking for help when you need it. So knowing that you're not alone and that you are, it's okay to say, hey, I'm not able to do this on my own. I'm not able to navigate this season by myself. I need help. That is okay. And that's a form of self-care, knowing that it's okay to say, hey, I can't do this by myself. Okay. So some ways that I practice social self-care is definitely boundaries. Boundaries are hard. I'm just going to be very blunt. They're hard and they are something you have to work on. And over the years, I've gotten a lot better at my boundaries. Another thing that I would say is social self-care would be finding time to spend with those who uplift me, like friends or family members I truly enjoy being around, that don't really make me feel bad about myself or make me feel drained after being with them. So those are two of the main things that I would say for social self-care that I would like to, that I practice. But again, this is so broad, and maybe you're like, oh, I don't really like to spend time with a lot of people. I really am an introvert and I like to be by myself. That's great. But maybe you have that really strong boundaries, or maybe you have a really strong support system that you know you can lean on in the times that you need them. But doesn't mean that you have to spend a lot of time together with these people, but you do know you have that strong support system. And then lastly, the one that we're going to talk about is spiritual. And that doesn't mean necessarily a religion or organized religion, or I'm not even going to get into, maybe it is an organized religion that you connect with spiritually. So maybe you're a Christian and you practice and you go to church on Sundays, or you go to church on Wednesdays, or maybe you do a Bible study, or maybe you do things in the, you do like, I don't know, prayer or journaling with a Bible study in the mornings as you read your Bible in the mornings with your coffee. That's a great way to do some spiritual self-care, but it can be more than attached to a religion. Okay. So it can be time by yourself. It can be time spent in meditation. And maybe that meditation to you, maybe it also looks like prayer. Maybe it's prayer. And so sometimes that's what meditation looks like for me. Maybe it's yoga, going back to, you can hit that physical and that spiritual in one, because maybe that yoga is a way that you connect spiritually or connect to yourself. Maybe connecting to other people in a certain setting, going outside, getting in nature, journaling, having a space that is sacred to you, maybe a space that makes you feel at peace. Maybe that's your bedroom. Maybe that's your living room. Maybe that's a place that you go outside. Whatever that looks like that makes you feel at peace and grounded, that's what I'm talking about as spiritual time. Okay. Spiritual self-care. So it can be more than looking at thinking about those, than it just be about religion or about Christianity or a certain type of religion. It's more than just that. Think about spirituality of also just connecting with yourself and connecting with your inner thoughts and doing what you need to do to kind of bring yourself back to center and ground yourself and bring yourself back to present. So whether that be practicing mindfulness and meditation, going for a walk, getting in nature, getting your feet in the grass, whatever you need to do to kind of ground yourself back to that present moment, like, hey, come back down to earth, Mindy, because we're spinning out of control here. Okay. So come back down to earth, come back down to where you are, whatever way works best for you. So for me, I would say time alone for sure, which is something that I used to struggle with so, so much, because a lot of times in the alone time is when our anxious thoughts get the best of us and we start to have those. That's when we hear our thoughts the most, when we're alone. That's why a lot of times our anxious coping skill is to keep ourselves busy or keep ourselves around other people, because we don't have to hear our own thoughts. So time alone used to be a huge thing for me that I refused to do. Not that I even realized I was not doing it. It's just that I made sure I was doing other things. And so I never was able to spend time by myself. But during COVID, I had no choice but to spend time by myself and realize that it's okay, that I can spend time by myself and I can do this without feeling going into a huge spiral of anxious thoughts. I have control over that and I can control some of that. So, and some of that goes down to like, how do I control that? Is that through meditation? Is that through journaling? So those are some of the things that I would recommend for myself. Those are some things that I practice for myself. So again, let's kind of just recap the types of self-care that I wanted to kind of really hone in on today are physical, emotional, social, and spiritual. And again, I want you to think about you as your individual self. The examples that I gave you today may not be what works best for you, and that's okay. The examples that I gave about my own self may not work best for you, and that's okay. It's okay to try something on for size, and if it doesn't fit, it doesn't work for you, then throw it away, right? Put it back on the shelf and try something else. So if you try going on that hot girl walk and it doesn't work for you, that's okay. Put it back on the shelf. It's okay that you're not like, you're not doing the same thing as all the other girls that are doing that are TikToking about their hot girl walk. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that that doesn't work for you. So maybe you try something else. Maybe it's that you tried that, it doesn't work, so you put it back on the shelf, and then you tried out yoga and yoga was the perfect fit. That is great. So just knowing that there's nothing wrong with you and that you have the ability to change and shift things and see what works best for you. So maybe right now you have a really good way of practicing emotional self-care that doesn't include therapy. But then maybe 5 months on the road, you experience something in your life and you notice that you're not able to really manage your emotions and self-regulate on your own as well as you were before. So maybe that's when you seek out therapy. Or maybe right now you've really been thinking, maybe therapy is something that you've been thinking about, but you haven't quite done it. Maybe this is the sign that you need to reach out, Google a therapist in your area. And then social, maybe you haven't created boundaries and maybe that's where you need to start. Try that, see how it works. And then that spiritual one, that's really something that you, that I want you to think of that being sacred to you. Think of that being your own personal thing. So it's more along the lines of, this is my thing that makes me happy and fills me up spiritually. And it can be something that is totally different from anyone else. So know that you are perfect the way that you are. You are not broken if your self-care looks different than someone else. You are you, and that is your superpower. So just know that try something. If it doesn't work, nothing wrong with you. Just try something else. So I hope this was a good episode for you to kind of learn about different ways that you can practice self-care, and knowing that it's so much more than what we sometimes think about. So I want you to go out and try one new way of practicing self-care this week. And if you do, DM me over on Instagram at Mindy L. Hancock. I would love to hear what you practice, what you tried, and let me know how it works out. And let me know, hey, that did not work for me, or that was so great. I cannot wait to do it again tomorrow, or I cannot wait to do it again next week. Let me know. I would love to hear about it. But in the meantime, you know where to find me on Instagram. I will be back soon with another episode, just with a life update. We're about to go on vacation and I am just ready. I'm ready to relax, ready to be on the beach. And yeah, so I'll come back with another episode. Life updates. There's a lot of stuff that's happened over the last couple of months. And yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful week and I will talk to you all soon. Thank you so much for listening to the You Out Loud podcast. I hope this episode was able to help you shift your mindset, take the step, or give you the little push you needed. If you loved this episode, don't forget to share it with your friends, tag us on Instagram, or leave us a rating and review over on iTunes. It is truly appreciated, and I do a little happy dance every single time. You are so important, and life is way too short to be playing small. It's time to take a chance on yourself and start living out loud.